In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Mighty Manfred here once more for a coolest conversations throwback in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Today's interview originally aired on October the 7th, 2016, and it features my talk with Robert Lopez, who's better known as Elvez, the Mexican Elvis, and in his younger days was part of the seminal West Coast punk band The Zeros. But in our conversation, we focus mainly on his persona, Little Robert, a name given to him by Little Richard, and it's a name he uses in his band of all Little Richard cover songs called The Little Richards, which features notable musicians from the current San Diego, California garage rock scene. Before we start yakking, though, let's hear some of their former coolest song of the world, a version of Good Golly Miss Molly, followed by my interview with Little Roberts on your Coolest Conversations throwback presented by Hard Rock. And please remember to rate and review, follow, and subscribe.
Good golly, Miss Molly, you sure like the ball. Good golly, Miss Molly, you sure like the ball. With your bucking and your rolling, can you hear your mama?
Mighty Manfred here, and joining me today on our Coolest Conversations is Little Robert of the Little Richards, who also goes by the names of Elvez and Robert Lopez, depending on what performance is at hand. How are you, Little Robert?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. So, not only do you, as Little Robert, channel the primeval rock and roll spirits through the guise of Little Richard songs, right, bear with me here, but you also manifest yourself as Elvez, a Mexican Elvis. Prior to that, you were in the Zeros, playing alongside Javier Escovedo, Alejandro's brother. So I have to ask, what set you on the path of rock and roll?
I would say punk rock 1976. My first band was a band called the Main Street Brats, which was two of the Zeros, and then we became the Zeros. But I've been listening to music. I think my very first record was a Dave Clark 5, Glad All Over, that I bought at the supermarket, and I've been listening to music ever since. So punk rock was my first guitar. 16, got in the band, started playing in L.A. and shows, and never looked back, and I go, this is the way for me.
So in your household growing up, there was music present? I mean, did your parents play instruments, or is this something you just sort of discovered on your own, your love for music?
My parents played a lot of music. No, my dad fooled around with the guitar, but we weren't, I wouldn't say, a musical family. My brother later played bass with the Zeros for a tiny bit of a summer, but we didn't come from a musical, super musical family. I did elementary school choir, and my sisters did too, but it wasn't like we were singing around the house like The Sound of Music or anything like that. But my parents listened to, my dad had Iron Butterfly records, my mom listened to Carly Simon and Judy Collins, and my mom loved Joe Cocker. So there was always a lot of music, but lots of Vicente Fernandez and Mexican music too. But we had a wide range of music at the house, and so I all sucked it up like a sponge and used it for later use in my career.
So why form the Little Richards? Why not the Chuck Berrys or Chuck and the Berrys? Why the Little Richard?
Chuck and the Berrys would be a great idea. When I was living in Los Angeles in the 80s, I used to work at the Hyatt, the Riot House on Sunset Boulevard, where infamous TVs would be thrown from the balconies and stuff like that. And I worked there in the early 80s, room service, cashier, telephone. And that was the same period that Little Richard was living at the hotel. And I would talk to Little Richard every day because he would order his breakfast, and he would always call me Little Robert. He goes, "Hi, Little Robert. I'm going to have this today or this and that." And so I would see him on a regular basis. So I always had an affinity for him. Our friends who we put on the 45 of The Girl Can't Help It is a store called The Girl Can't Help It. And they were having an anniversary show, and she goes, "Oh, can you do us a favor and do something?" And I go, "Okay, I'll make a band." And so I took my friends, being Pat and Letty and Tom and other and Diana, and said, "Let's make a show just for this day. It'll be fun. We'll wear polka dots." And I thought of the concept, and okay, we're going to choreograph dance music and only play Little Richard songs and call each other, "Hey, I'm Little Diana," and stuff like that. And people just loved the idea so much that that night we played at another club. They said, "Oh," because we were playing on the sidewalk right in front of the store in downtown North Park, San Diego. And it went over so well, but the people just loved the Little Richards. And we got signed after our sixth show to Sympathy for the Record Industry. After our 10th show, we got offered a Italian and Spanish tour, and by our 20th show we were playing in Zaragoza, Spain, headlining a festival in front of 1,000 people. So it was really great to see how fast it was stupidly moving and people were loving it. And then we recorded the album, and here we are now talking to you, and it's the funnest band I've ever been in, I'll have to say.
Well, it sounds like the magic of Little Richard has just fueled everything. That is fantastic.
I mean, it's a special project because we all have other bands, and so we do it when we can, but it's a nice relief and fun and hell of a workout. What we get together, because it's like we make it special, and I feel like we move as one big unit, and like we have agenda, and that is to rock you really hard.
Well, so you perform as Elvis, as I mentioned, and you know Elvis was, it's often referred to as being the king of rock and roll, and that's the title Little Richard has used for himself over the years. Also, at some point, he's reportedly to have said he's the queen of rock and roll. So you've got a very unique perspective on both. Who is the true king of rock and roll?
They're kind of both. I mean, I would say Little Richard surely influenced Elvis Presley.
Oh, yeah.
And then Elvis Presley took it someplace else, too. So they were two different greats. I got to meet Little Richard as Elvis when we did a festival. We had done a festival together in Spain, and we were staying at the hotel, and I got to walk up to him and go, "Oh, Mr. Richard, I'm sure you don't remember me, but I used to," and he goes, "Little Robert." And so that was the best thing, that he remembered me. He had never seen me as Elvis, but he remembered me as Little Robert. And it was in the lobby of the hotel, and the press was there, and the next day it got in the paper, "The King and Queen of Rock and Roll."
That is so fantastic. I was so hoping you'd have a moment like that. And I wanted to ask, had you ever actually seen Little Richard perform? But that is way more special.
Yes, no, that he remembered me was a thrill to me. And yeah, I played with him a couple times in Texas and then in Spain. It was really great. No, he's a great influence.
So then I have to think, is there any way for you to reach out and say, "Oh, by the way, I'm performing as Little Robert. I'm doing the Little Richards now"?
I have no contact with him. I mean, if we were walking to a party and saw each other, he would recognize me, but he's not staying at the Hyatt no more. So I haven't had the opportunity to tell him this is my homage to you, Little Richard, but I would love to.
Well,
I'm going to use this time as a radio right now. "Hey, Little Richard, this is Little Robert. You made me what I am. Thank you. I love you, man."
So our coolest song in the world this week is your version of "Good Golly, Miss Molly." I think it's very cool that, you know, you're covering it, but you also make it unique to yourselves. The other tracks on the album, some of them are more straight covers, and others you've got some arrangement twists. What was your criteria for picking the songs on the album?
There's six people in the band: Little Pat, Little Letty, Little Diana, Little Brian, and Little Steven, and Little Robert, me. And we said, "Which ones are your favorite songs?" And we chose in that way. But I am always kind of the mix master of stuff, thinking, well, you know, lots of the songs are pretty similar. Mm. And I was saying, you know, a full show of similar would be a little bit much. I mean, luckily he had horns and all this other stuff. And so when it's just guitars and drums and bass and keyboard, we had to strip it down. So it was me saying, okay, we got to do it in a different key. Let's speed it up or slow it down, or this sounds like something else. Let's rearrange that. So that's just the way my mind works with Elvez-ness, because Elvez is all about mashing up and showing other influences at the same time you're hearing the song. So right. With the Little Richard, it was a little trick on purpose that changed it as much as we could and set the songs, because each singer who comes out and sings, they have their own personality. So I try to make it like, okay, and now Lil Diana, etc., that it'll drive the song in a different way. And I think that's what makes a live show interesting, because you have six lead singers on stage, each taking their turn and giving you different energy and a different way to showmanship.
Oh, I agree. I want to ask about the live show in a moment, but I was wondering, since there's no slipping and sliding or Ready Teddy or Heebie Jeebies or Hey, 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 would you consider those for a second album and maybe even include like some 60s tracks like Don't Know What You've Got, But It's Got Me, stuff like that?
It will be a while before we get to the second album. We did record a version of Slippin' and Slidin', that's on the B-side of the 45, and Heebie Jeebies was in the live shows, so there are other live show songs that we haven't put, but if people want us enough, we will gladly put another record out. It's a great experience for us, and we love doing it. And so, yeah. Oh, no, there's a whole plethora of Little Richard. Next album would probably go for the weirder, deeper cuts that aren't as popular, but Heebie-Jeebies for sure would be in that.
So you guys also do a version of the Bunker Hill song, The Girl Can't Dance. Is that something you might put on an album?
Yeah, we'll have to put it up to a vote. I like technically staying in the box of the Little Richard, especially for recording purposes, I guess. We have a frame, and I like to stick in it. So, I mean, we do The Girl Can't Dance and I'm a Rocker, but they are so in the contents of the Little Richard, so obviously influenced by Little Richard, that's why it works live. But studio might be a different thing. I like the idea of keeping it a tight frame. And then from that, exploding into different directions as we go.
Let me ask again, proper about the live shows. We should let people know. I mean, they're so full of energy as befits the music. You've got guitar players, you guys climbing on each other's shoulders, synchronized moves, lots and lots and lots of polka dots. Very cool. What are you trying to do visually with the band? Why is putting on a show important for you?
The simplicity of the songs to us is like the basics of the rock and rolls, is the basic of punk rock. Mm-hmm. And it's like we want to show you that original energy of romantically 1956, perhaps, when this was all fresh and this music would drive parents crazy and say, oh, our children are listening to devil music. And music has gone through so many stages, but this is what it originated from. And we are trying to put that energy, because we love putting on a show and the songs make us dance. And when we ever do tours in Spain and Europe, we are always on the dance floor after the show, yeah, as sweaty as we may be, because we love to move and we love to dance. And this is the music that makes us do that. And so we try to explode on stage and show this is the roots of what we're all listening to, be it punk rock, be it, you know, death metal, be it AC/DC, etc. This is the roots. And we are all showmans, and we learn from the Woggles of how to move and groove. And no, the Woggles were influence, of course, to us. And the history of good rock and roll show is put on a show. The polka dots and the two-tone shoes and the backdrop are my artistic ideas, because I knew it would set us apart and give a great visual and make some great pictures from that. And I think it's just a little frame that puts a show in your head and a visual in your head. And I like to get you both ways, visually and sonically.
As you were describing things, the word punk rock's come up several times, and you mentioned, you know, starting off with the Zeros, playing with the Zeros early on. And so the Zeros do play on occasion. So are you still in the Zeros? Do you still perform with those guys?
No, as recently, maybe again later, but we are all kind of in different trajectory pass. So I haven't been able to play with them for a while. We did our last thing together was like a tour of Japan, which is really great. And it's great playing with them, because people love the Zeros, and it's amazing to go to Japan where we never played and seeing people knowing all the words and singing along. And I even got stopped by a girl downtown in the street and started screaming, "You're the Zeros, you're the Zeros," you know. And so it's like amazing that thousands of miles away we meant something to somebody, and we only existed at our heart for those couple of years in 76, 77, 78. But, you know, yeah, I'm glad they're still playing, but alas, not with me for a while.
So several weeks ago, you were at that the Tiki Oasis Festival in San Diego. And for anyone that's not aware, it's like a huge celebration of Polynesian pop, we'll call it. And you were doing all sorts of different emceeing things. And so one of the things you were doing was teaching yoga classes. And is that like a usual job for you? Do you normally teach yoga classes?
I don't always teach it, but I do practice yoga. I take yoga classes all the time, and especially being Elvez and doing the splits, and especially in the Little Richard, just being flexible. I'm 56 years old, and everything gets harder when you get older, so yoga really helps me continue in my rock and roll vein of going insane and doing headstands and splits.
Well, I may take that to heart at some point, because I've often thought of myself just as eternally youthful, but getting up every morning, my just seems to be more aches and pains. So I'll take that to heart. Perhaps you can give me a yoga lesson sometime.
Oh, I will gladly. No, it is, especially for performers as you are, your sense of balance, your sense of freedom to move, and, you know, put someone on your shoulders and vice versa. When you do yoga, you can stand on the amp and have balance, and okay, you have better control of your body, and you can put on a better show. So being a showman, yoga really makes you put on a better show.
Sounds good, but what about the fact that I can't stand pain, and I really hate exerting myself? And this is actually a valid question, because so you're up there on stage moving around the whole time, and I've been on stage and I can move around or dance, talking about dancing after a show, play a set, and I could just be dancing for hours. That's great. But if I have like a regular structured like exercise time, man, I'm ready to shoot myself on the head. I start dreading it ahead of time, and it's just like the absolute worst thing. Now, is that just unique to me, or?
I think yoga is different a little bit. It's tough at the beginning, but once you feel the benefit, stretching will make you dance better. Stretching makes you stand taller. Stretching gives you so much more presence that you can use in your regular day. You'll feel the difference. It takes a while to get into any routine, I think, of exercise or eating healthy or whatever. At first, it's tough. It's about getting into the groove. It takes a while sometimes. I highly recommend it.
So I want to play the title track from your debut album, Bama Lama Bama Loo. It's a song that maybe some Little Richard fans aren't familiar with, since it was like a comeback single for them, returning to the secular world. But for you guys, it's sung by Little Pat, who is quite the showman in his own right. Can you describe some of Little Pat's onstage antics?
The very first time I saw Little Pat was with his band, the Schizophonics, which is Little Pat, Little Eddie, and their bass player. I saw them at the Bar Pink in San Diego, and when anything is super good to me, I get a tear in my eye. They were amazing. They were like rock and roll meeting up to this one moment, a history of everything. Skinny white boys playing the blues. Jimi Hendrix meets the Stooges, meets MC5, meets the Passion of Kurt Cobain. But he's amazing to watch because he kind of plays one-handedly, because his right hand is flailing around and he's picking with his left hand, and he has his amp such that it has to sustain, so it looks like he's magically playing guitar. Oh, and he's jumping around and yelping, and a little bit of Prince in there. He's just a great front man and a great performer, and he adds that to this version of Bama Lama Loo when you see us live. The record is good, but you got to see the Little Richard's live, because especially with Little Pat, he just, how he plays, and it's like he's playing to a tape or something, because both hands are free, but his guitar is still going magically. Really an inspiration to me and to everybody.
Well, you know, we need to take a listen to that track, but before I spin Bama Lama Bama Loo, Bad Little Robert, thank you so much for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Well, thank you, Manfred. This has been, I have to say, one of the most wonderful, enlightening, inspiring interviews I have ever done in the life of Little Robert.
Wow. I'm completely overwhelmed. Well, the best thing to do now is to take a listen to the title track from the debut album. It's the Little Richards with Bama Bama Lou and Little Stevens.
Bama Lama Bama Lou got a girl.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.